Don't ask me.
And stop. You ready down there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it is 6 o'clock. I would like to call the July meeting to order. First, we have the prayer of invocation. Pastor Don Allison, please step up to the podium. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to say thank you for this day that you have given unto us. And dear Lord, I want to thank you for this town and council meeting. God, I ask that you bless every city official, every council member. Father, I thank you for every attendant, every participant in the name of Jesus. And God, I ask that you will guide the hearts and the minds as they consider everything that is, every matter that comes before them, oh God, on the agenda on tonight. And dear Lord, I thank you because we understand that it will be for the betterment of our community, of our businesses, oh God, and our families. And Lord God, it will also sustain us for the future. And all these blessings I ask in your name and for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So welcome, everybody. It's great to see people in here. We're going to go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance, if y'all can stand. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First on the agenda, we have the approval of the previous month's minutes. Everybody received the minutes. If everybody's okay with them, can I get a motion and a second to approve the minutes?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Throughout the minutes, it references things were passed unanimously by a vote of five to zero, and I wasn't here. It's multiple times, so you'll have to just sort of, and I do minutes, I know how that it can be, but I just wanted to point that out.
So, can we do a motion that if to accept after she redistributes with those corrections?
You can just accept with the amendment from 5 to 4.
Okay, all in favor of accepting with the amendment of 5 to 4?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have a capital projects update. Bob? Now I can unmute, but I did have it down low because I have an unmute. Bob and Liz are both on the phone, so I don't know. Liz asked if we could turn on our mics. Bob, can you hear us? Well, that laptop is unmuted because I can hear the feedback coming through here.
On his end?
Mm-hmm. No, he's on here now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can't hear you. There's no sound coming through. No, I hear you loud and clear.
You can hear us, John?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, maybe Bob's volume's not on. I just asked him.
Liz, can you hear him?
Welcome to the world of technology.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you want me to get started?
He can't hear you. He can talk, but he can't hear you. Do you know how to sign?
No, I don't.
You're going to write on a piece of paper.
I know, right? Like,
old time. Right, it looks like a bad word.
Yes, it does.
All right, so Larry, you going to start?
We've had a couple of meetings with the town engineer staff on a few of the projects. Old Denton Road has got some, we've got a date at least for Board of Public Works, which is September 1, so hopefully we'll get our notice that everything will be approved, including the funding, and we'll get our notice to proceed, ideally for the later part of September than the later part of September, so that project can get started. It'd be still nice to get it up and going and mostly done before we get into the depth of the winter. So that's where we are with Old Denton Road.
Lindsay, I guess you'll just have to text me everything.
I'll talk slower then. I'll be the one to be listening.
I'm not.
On the two projects that weren't funded, the SCADA and the water meters, we do have enough, we'll have enough money with our first drawdown of the federal.
I'm going to log out and log back in.
We do have enough on the, we'll have enough when we get our first allocation of the federal ARPA money to do those two projects out of pocket. If that's council's wish, we can. And that as well as some other smaller expenditures will pretty much take care of the first year's worth of allocation. What we, and I think Bob can address this from the engineering side, we weren't funded for the upgrades to the wastewater pump stations, not at all. And that's a project that's at to the cost of about $2.3 million. So we've had some discussions about doing an alternative, sort of a bypass, a pump system and a bypass, so that the whole of the pump stations don't have to be rebuilt, but if either one of the pump stations fail, there's sort of a fail-safe pump system that's in place. Bob can better explain what the engineering of that's going to look like, and that can also go on within the footprint of the existing pump stations. So we don't have
to,
build another structure. I don't want to put an out in public cost on that one. It hasn't even been on the design board yet, but that might be in the $600,000 to $700,000 range, which will buy us some time and a little bit more wastewater backup. I've decided to less than $2.2 million. So I think that was pretty much the star of tonight's show, was the backup to the pump station project. And I'm happy to have Bob, Council would like, email some more specifics about that. We can just spread that around. We can just circulate that in the next day or so.
Yeah, I just texted. I just texted him and asked him to shoot out an email tomorrow giving an overview of the project. Perfect, thank you. Probably.
That will speed things along. And it looks like Bob's gone.
Well, yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I don't know what the problem was. It must have been my end. Sorry.
Okay. Bob, can you give the play-by-play a little bit on the sewer pump station backup system that we talked about?
Yeah, the sewer pumping station complete redo is a pricey project that could eat up all the available funds that the town's going to get. So with other priorities perhaps above it, the thing that we want to protect ourselves against is any kind of failure that would result in any kind of spills and the like. And as I was giving it some thought, I think an affordable option is a bypass pump arrangement. And there's a typically used pumping system, it's a pump called Godwin, and they come in all sizes. And what we would do, we could consider it, you could do them as temporary and just rent the pumps if there is a timeline that you think you're going to meet, or if we want to put it in as a backup safety arrangement and just let the pumping station go till it has a problem, we can permanently install an intake line and valve it so that the Godwin pump takes over and bypasses and goes back into the force main. And I think that would be really affordable. We haven't jumped into any kind of design considerations or pricing quite yet, but on a short term, renting the pump is a consideration, and I suspect I can get you some harder numbers here fairly shortly. Didn't want to go too far with it until we had a chance to talk about it. But I think it would be a good safety factor for those pumping stations if we're not going to start a complete rebuild. Actually, you would use a pump like that during construction anyway. I think it's a good option for us. Okay, I'm not hearing
it. Yeah, I'd like to see what it, you know, the cost of that would be to consider it.
Yeah, if we need to have something to play, then I'd like to have a backup plan in play just in case.
Yeah, I just, I think that given the way the monies are being available now and potentially in the future, that's a good short term, and it's a, that's actually not a lost cost because of the need to use it for a rebuild.
Okay, so I guess put the information together and for the pricing, and we'll start looking at the plan to see if how we can take care of that.
Yeah, it's disappointing that we didn't get the MDE money, but we weren't going to protect the environment enough, I guess.
Maybe we needed an older failing system.
Larry, did you get the old Benton Road?
Yes. So at least we've got a date with the Board of Public Works to get their review of the funding and the approval.
Yeah, we've been holding a September 1 start and a 180-day construction period. Just for a broad budget, waiting for that Board of Public Works. When did they say they're going to meet?
September 1st.
Okay, so that's our date, yeah. And Ritalik's ready to go just as soon as we give him the go-ahead.
And then, Bob, the other two things that are out there, which are pretty much ARPA, should be ARPA year one money, the SCADA system and the water meters, or we started a water meter project. Neither one which funded was funded into this funding cycle.
Right. Those are important things to get done. The nice thing about them, they're not presenting a serious immediate risk, but they're going to have a tremendous benefit for ongoing operations. And they're a lot more affordable than say, the pumping station project. So I think if they make the decision to utilize available funding, we've got most everything, you know, put together to try to move into that project.
All right. Anybody, do you have anything else, Bob?
No, I was, Larry and I discussed this, and I just want to make myself available to fill in and elaborate on any of the topics that you want to make sure we cover tonight.
Okay.
We're working on a number of smaller projects and smaller grant items, and I don't know if, Larry, you want to, just even for the purpose of mentioning some of those, the dam and the log cabin and those types of projects.
I'll be doing an update on the dam project. We had the dam tabletop drill today, so there's some issues that came out of that that probably may merit some further consideration about the dam. And then the log cabin is proceeding as proceeding. The roof's done, and the acquisition of the logs for the siding is ongoing now, so that should be the next phase. The contractor's already received his first payment, so I think we're in good stead there. What was necessary was a survey plat for the 50-foot preservation easement that needs to be around the log cabin for the next 30 years. And if I'm not mistaken, correct me, Bob, your survey crew has already taken care of that, right?
I believe so, okay. Yeah.
And then the last thing is it's an item for this for consideration tonight is the Marina Park Stormwater Project. Again, permitting is already in hand, and design is at 90%. The town received $300,000 of state money because we didn't receive $300,000 of federal money. So that's an agenda item for tonight for consideration and direction to have the mayor approve that grant and accept the terms. So that's...
I would certainly accept those funds, and the design was done, you know, some time ago. We're going to update all of our construction cost estimates and make whatever adjustments we should do to stay within the available funds that you have. That's a nice grant that you got.
And I believe that's the last of the projects that's out there.
Anything else? Anybody have any questions for Bob? All right, Bob, thank you. Thanks for getting your sound fixed.
Sorry for my confusion on my end. I was ready to blame it on you, but I've got it over here, so I guess it was mine. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, next we have Service Line and Leak Protection Program presentation from Ashley Shawarski. I hope I didn't butcher your last name.
It's all right. It was pretty close. Thank you all for having me here this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to join virtually. My name is Ashley Shawarski, and the company I work for is called HomeServe, and we administer the National League of Cities Service Line Program as well as the Serve Line Leak Protection Program. And with these programs, we have relationships with the National Rural Water Association, the National League of Cities, as well as the Maryland Rural Water and the Maryland Municipal League. What our programs really can do is they can be the total solution for residents to not only help them fix a broken water or sewer line, but it also can help them pay with the high water or sewer bill that's associated with a leak. Our program, to kind of give you a little background, was really developed just to help address the public policy issue of aging infrastructure. We know that towns like yours all across the U.S. really have been doing their part to either upgrade or maintain their public infrastructure, but with the homeowners portion of these lines, there's really only so much that the town can do, so these lines kind of get forgotten about. So that's really why the National League of Cities went out and did research. They wanted to make a program like this readily and easily available to cities and towns all across the U.S. So they went out and did the research, and we were the company that they chose to provide these programs. So what we would do is we would partner with the town to make these programs available to the residents there. We always provide this program at both programs at no cost to the town, as well as the town the town, you know, to help do some kind of adjustment, a payment plan, something like that. You know, most homeowners don't have that extra couple thousand dollars to pay for, to pay not only to repair their line, but pay for the high water bill that's associated with it. And I know if you do, most people would rather spend it on something else. So, as I mentioned, our program, we offer two programs, and they can really become a solution to these issues. We offer both the leak service line program, which helps with leaks, as well as the leak protection program, which would help with the high water and sewer bills, as well as the service line program. So I'm just going to talk about the leak protection program, and this really has been a win-win for utilities and their customers. For the customers there, the residents, it offers peace of mind knowing that the cost of an unexpected excess water bill due to a leak would be covered with no deductibles and other charges. And you all there at the town would benefit by recapturing lost revenue and bad debt that may be associated with those water leaks, as well as it can unburden the staff with time to need those adjustment processes. I know the proposal was included in your agenda packet, but with our leak protection program, we offer three different coverage options that the town can choose to make one of them available to your residents. We offer a $500 limit, a $1,000 limit, or a $2,500 policy limit. And we would offer coverage for both a water and sewer bill adjustment. The leak protection program is paid as a separate line item on the resident bill, and the resident can receive up to one adjustment over every 12-month period. What's nice about this program is we do pay over two billing cycles, so I know you all bill quarterly there, so we would pay over two quarters. And what's nice about that is we do know sometimes a homeowner doesn't realize they have a leak until they receive a bill in the mail, and then the next quarter is already starting to calculate for them, so we do pay over two billing cycles. In order for a homeowner to qualify for an adjustment, their bill would just have to be two times their quarterly average, and this does include simple leaks like a leaking faucet and a running toilet. With this program, this is an actual insurance policy where we would insure the town and the residents are additional claimants. That is why it is added as a separate line item on the resident's, bill. But that allows us to pay that loss directly to the town there to ensure that they're using that money to actually pay their high water or sewer bill. The way we get the word out about this program is when we launch the program, we customize a brochure to be included with the monthly or with the quarterly bill. And it just lets the residents know that this new leak protection program is going to be beginning. It lets them know that the date that it will be beginning, and it lets them know that if they're not interested in the coverage, they're able to call us and decline that before anything ever shows up on their bill. That flyer that we send out also lets them know that they will be receiving information in the mail about the service line protection to cover their line, what is causing the issue for them. So, as I mentioned, we do offer the two programs. The second one is the leak protection program, the service line program. And this one is where we would send that letter out to the homeowners, letting them know about this program. They are able to enroll in that one by calling us, going to our website, or returning the letter right to us. We handle all of the aspects of the program. So that if a homeowner kind of separates us from other companies out there is that ours is always on a per incident basis. So we do not have an annual or lifetime limit, and we don't limit the number of incidents or claims that they have. Just like with the leak protection, the service line program never has any type of service fee or deductible, and they always receive up to that $8,500 for each and every repair incident. As I mentioned, in addition to the two external products, we do cover the in-home plumbing, and that covers any of the water, sewer, or drain lines that are actually in the resident's home after the point of entry that either may be broken or leaking. It also includes any lines that could be embedded under a slab or basement floor, and coverage for repair of clogged toilet. And this one, again, is similar where there's never a service fee or deductible, no annual or lifetime limit. We never limit the number of claims with this one as well. And with in-home plumbing, the homeowner does receive up to $3,000 for each and every repair incident. And we really come to find that when someone enrolls in any of these options, they are a little bit more proactive about getting their service lines taken care of because they know the cost of determining their issue and getting it taken care of is not coming out of their own pocket. And then, as I did mention, this program is marketed through direct mail. We work with the town to customize that letter for your review and approval. Once we get the approval, we would send that out, letting the homeowners know if they want to enroll, they can call us or go to our website or return that letter to us. That letter that we do send out would include the town logo so the homeowners know the program you all are participating in. But again, with this program, we do the marketing, the billing, the claims, and the customer service. And just lastly, we do have over 1,000 municipal partners across the United States. We do have 22 partners in the state of Maryland. And I know I just rambled on for the last few minutes, so I'm sure you all may have some questions for me as well.
So you guys would handle the enrollment and the billing?
So for the service line program, when we prepare the lines, we handle the enrollment and the billing. With the leak protection program, that one would be added as a separate line item on the resident's bill. If they want to decline the coverage, they call us, and we would handle all of that. But the town would collect the premiums for that on their quarterly bills, and then we would send you an invoice for the premiums that you collected.
So we would have to, would people have to opt into that, or is that something that just goes on everybody's bill and then they have to opt out?
To opt
so
out.
That one is an opt-out. The way it works is, so the previous quarter, we would customize a flyer, giving the residents, you know, that 3 month heads up of letting them know, you know, this is a new program that is going to be beginning. If you want to decline the coverage, you have that time to do it before it shows up on their bill. But if they don't decline the coverage, then it would start on the next quarter. I do like to let everyone know, we know sometimes people don't read flyers, so for some reason someone misses it. They are able to decline the coverage anytime in that first 12 months and receive a full refund. After that first 12 months, they're still able to decline, they just don't receive the full refund.
And with the leak protection program, any adjustments would be the town would cover, and then you would reimburse the town. Is that correct?
Correct. We typically recommend the homeowner to continue to pay their quarterly average, and then we would reimburse the town. We want to make sure that they get their taking care of what's causing the leak so they don't continue to waste water, figure out what their average bill is, and then we pay that off.
And they only pay if it's doubled.
Right. And only once every 12 months.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, there are one claim they're able to file every 12 months, but we do pay over two billing cycles. So, you can have a leak for up to 6 months. Not that we want anyone to do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
I kind of think, in theory, the leak protection sounds good, but I think that our residents would not be real thrilled about automatically being opted into a program.
I agree with that. I don't like
that they have to pay for.
Yeah.
They already complained that their water bills were too high.
I mean, if you guys took care of everything, then I would be on board with that. But to have our staff have to put it in and then opt out for every person that doesn't want to do it, I'd rather have it optional. They opt in with you, they sign up, and you guys are responsible for the billing. and they deal with all the policy stuff through you guys.
Yeah, I completely understand. The leak protection is only available through an opt-out. The reason why is because it is that insurance policy for the town. So it's one policy that we write for the town, and then those homeowners are additional claimants, and that's what allows us to pay that loss directly to you while there. If it was an opt-in, it would be individual policy for each resident, which would greatly increase the price, and then we would pay the claim right to them, which, you know, then it wouldn't ensure that they're using that to pay their high water bill. Obviously, I understand, you know, some people do have some concerns about the opt-out. I do like to let everyone know the programs are separate, so if, you know, you wanted to choose the, or, you know, go with the service line program, we can implement that, and then if there was some interest, you know, moving forward with the opt-out, we can add that on at a later time, or we can do a vote in conjunction, and, you know, whatever is the best fit for your town.
I mean, I wouldn't mind looking at offering residents for them to do the service line program through themselves, and they take care of the billing and signing up for it, but I'm not for the leak protection.
I would agree
now.
With you.
I think
you.
That's just way too much workload on our staff, and I think our residents, more of them would probably opt out more than opt in. And we have how many water bills?
About 1,200.
That would be 1,200 accounts that you'd probably have to modify 1,100 or more accounts. So
right.
But I don't mind if we look at offering them
the service line
option. They could do that on their own. What do you, Councilman Marie?
Yeah, no, I'd
Windsor?
Rather not have it the option to opt out. I'd rather have the individual make that decision. Too many people know where I live.
You know, if we only do the service line program first, or at all in general, the way we market that is we do handle all the aspects. We customize that letter for the town for review and approve. We work with you to make sure it's something that you're happy with. Once we get the approval, we let you know the dates that we would send those out. But if someone enrolls, they call us, go to our website, or return them to us, and then we bill them monthly, quarterly, annually, however they choose. But it is month to month that they can opt in and opt out any.
I like that. They can make an informed decision, and it doesn't involve the you know.
I don't think I heard a monthly fee or a quarterly fee.
So for the service line program, the monthly fee for the homeowners are for the external water line coverage. If they choose to enroll, it's $5.75 per month. For the external sewer line coverage, it's $7.75 per month, and for the in-home plumbing, it is $9.99 per month. They're all separate, all 100% optional, and then they can enroll a lot of ways, but it is always month to month. I also did mention that the town would receive a revenue for their participation in this program, so what the town would receive for their partnership is 50 cents per month per paid warranty contract. So if a homeowner did enroll in all three of the options, the water, the sewer, and the in-home plumbing, then the town would receive $1.50 per month per household. And we do pay that to you in the form of a revenue every January. We have partners that do different things with this. You can do anything that you like. Some put it into the general fund. Some use it to help, you know, address certain projects they're already, looking into. We have partners that will use it, you know, with helping residents pay a utility bill from month to month, or, you know, if you choose to not do the leak protection, some people will use it to help offset those high bills due to a leak, so.
Okay. Do you guys have any other questions? And I think what I would recommend is that if you could send us more details on the package for the Serveline program that doesn't involve any staff interaction, except us reviewing and approving, then we can take a look at that and see if that's something that we're going to move forward with, at least to start out of the gate.
Perfect. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll send you over some additional information. We enter into a marketing agreement that lets you know we only market by direct mail. We don't mail without your review and approval prior, and it's really pretty short and sweet. It's put into place to indemnify and hold the town mark list. But I will get over to Larry, and then if you guys have any questions or need anything.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for your time. I hope you all have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Okay, we are missing the Parks and Rec group, so we will go to the next two options. Did you want to discuss these?
Yep. Yeah, so the next two things, I'll actually hit them both at the same time. The PERER for Old Denton Road project and the water meters and SCADA project. The Old Denton Road project, that one, the PERER has already been done. However, it was done back in 2018 when USDA used a different form. We're still getting some clarification on USDA and procurement processes and whether we can get either of those two projects funded. So I'm going to recommend that you table them at this time, hopefully by your first August meeting. We can have conversations from USDA so I can give you a complete picture of where the two of those are before recommending that you approve them.
We're going to table both of those. Do you need a motion for that?
Yeah, if you could just make a motion to table both the Old Denton Road and water meters and SCADA, PERER, and then hopefully by the first August meeting, we can approve or figure out what to do with this.
Okay. Can I get a motion to table the PERER for Old Denton Road, water meter, and SCADA project?
Make a motion we table till August.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the sidewalk ordinance update. John and Town Manager DeRee, you're up.
Yeah, Mayor Mayor, members of the council, this is a follow-up from the June meeting on the text amendment for the sidewalk ordinance. We had a copy of that last meeting. Also, you'll find attached is from the town of Easton is there. Sidewalk and ramp construction spec, which is good enough and one that we should adopt because at this point we provide no information on what the spec is for the construction replacement of sidewalks in the town. So to get back to the text amendment, you've got the draft there of Articles 1, 2, and 3. Staff believes that this makes the sidewalk process a little bit clearer. Article 1 provides Article 1 describes permitting procedural steps. Article 2 describes specific work area requirements during and upon completion of the permit work. And Article 3 establishes penalties for non-compliance. And you can see they're written open-ended. Mayor and Council should be adopting a fee schedule and a fine schedule on an annual basis, ideally during the budget process. So rather than to say a permit costs $15 and a penalty is $100, it's just the language is written broadly this way. Amendment, the text doesn't need to be amended every time there's a change to the fee schedule or the fine schedule. So that's where we are. I will defer to the building official if there's any questions on the spec for construction. And I'm happy to answer any questions on the proposed text amendment to Chapter 197.
John, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Just that the specs from Easton are basically a standard spec that you would find with the National Concrete Institute or whatever it happens to be called, but they're a basic standard that's used all across the country, and they should be more than sufficient for our town.
Does anybody have any questions? You guys look at those specs.
No. That makes sense to me, so I'm not.
Yeah.
Was the one where you have to put the dimples, is that addressed in this one? Or
yeah,
is that what the little bridges are on there?
Yeah, there is the Americans with Disabilities standards are also on those.
Okay.
Stuff.
Does anybody have any questions for John or?
I don't.
I don't.
Okay, so I guess you can go ahead and draft the ordinance and we'll get it updated.
And report next month.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, next we have the grant. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, have a nice evening.
Oh,
thank you,
too.
John.
Next, we have the grant award from DNR Chesapeake and Atlantic Coastal Bays Trust Fund, the Stormwater Quality Management for Marina Park.
Many members of council, this is the follow-up from the brief discussion we had with town engineer Bob Rao. This was a earlier we found out that the town was not awarded federal funding through the National Fish and Wildlife Fund for this project, so that will have the project potential to be done or pursued by the federal rescue plan PAC money. Well, the award of the $300,000, which was applied for in 2020, we found out this late June, early July, that the town received $300,000 in state funding from DNR through that specific fund, the Chesapeake and Atlantic Coastal Bay Trust Fund, which is meant to address the non-point source pollution projects. Our project began back earlier than 2018. Two permits have already been issued by the Maryland Department of Environment for this project, both in 2018 and June and November of 2018. Those are five-year permits, which will be expiring in June and November of 2023. And as was mentioned, the specifics of the design are at 90%. Now there's going to be some engineering time to go back and review the 90% drawings and either amend those or bring those up to 100%. This way we have a project that we can put out for bid. Town staff expressed the expectation that all the work associated with this project will be done for $300,000, and that includes all work, including on the redesign, because we don't have to do more permitting, we're at least to that. That's already been done under another expenditure years ago of $55,000 that got us the 90% drawings and the two permit approvals. So we don't have to do that all over again. But we do have, there is going to be some, as Bob mentioned, some extra engineering costs, and then there's also the overhead relative to legal, but that as well as the project will be done within a budget of totaling $300,000. This way we don't get into any unexpended overruns. This grant requires no local match. It's another reimbursement-based project, so we would have to time it appropriately. Ideally, we get started after Old Denton Road is done, because Old Denton Road is going to be another cash flow. So this would probably be a project that begins spring of 2022. The engineer supports it, and staff's recommendation is to accept the grant and authorize the mayor to sign the award agreement. The award agreement is attached. So
if they have to do some redesign work, they don't have to go back and have those attached to the permit? Or the permit is to get the work done down there? Okay.
The permits were awarded on the design that's already been done.
Okay.
The upside is it also gets us out. There's no town match here. And remember, the federal funds were going to require that whatever it was, $45,000 town match, so which we could have spent out of the federal rescue fund money anyway because of the stormwater project, but that just frees it up. So it's a net benefit that we don't have to spend ARPA overrun money, and it's also a net benefit that we don't have to spend project money out of the ARPA. So in a sense, this award frees us up from $345,000 that could be spent on other things.
What was the total cost of the project in 2018 when they first did it?
The design was $292. The permitting that they already spent was $55.
On top of the $292.
Yeah, and then there was whatever that was left over, $41,000, I think, that we were looking at.
So do we think we can do the same work in the days?
Probably not. We'll make it fit, though. It may not be.
Well, but my point being is this: if we got to change it that much, is it still the same project, and are we still getting the same benefit out of it?
Yeah. Likely not.
You know,
well, we're getting
a
benefit from it, and I think that that's maybe more to the point of what the state funds would like to see, an improvement in the sediment issue and the phosphorus and the nitrogen runoff. So it's better than what we've got now. It may not, 300 total isn't going to buy you what 375 would have, but we're at least going to be net ahead of where we are right now.
And this is what we're already into it for $55,000.
Well, correct.
Right.
Several years ago.
Right.
20 years
still.
Ago,
right. But still, if it helps with any of the swampiness down there, us not having to try to mow some of that area, if we can do something else with it so that we don't have to worry about it mowing or creating divots, and then it's just a mess down there when they try to mow when it's been raining. So.
Right. Arguably, anything's a net benefit. Anything's better than what you have.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I say they give it a go and see what they can do for their $300,000, or our $300,000. So, does anybody else have any comments, thoughts?
No.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came in late. I missed just what's been going on here, but I was wondering if this meeting was including anything as far as the town of Phillipsburg itself, Washington streets, and other things that maybe citizens' concerns on Brooklyn or whatever.
So what we're discussing now is a grant for the Marina Park?
Yeah, no.
For the agenda?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It didn't seem to be anything that we particularly into. So.
There is a chance, if you have something, just questions on it, and to have residents' concerns, and you can stand up and express whatever.
Yeah, we have public comment
have.
Right at the end. You'll be able to stand up and let us know anything else that you'd like to add. So can I, for the grant award for the DNR, can I get a motion that we accept the $300,000 from DNR, Chesapeake and Atlantic Coastal Bays Trust Fund?
I make a motion that we accept the grant of $300,000 from the Department of Natural Resources for the Marina Park Stormwater Project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. And I think Sue is joining us. It looks like she's trying to get in. Maybe. Trying. Sue?
How goes it, good people?
There you go. Awesome. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
You're up. Perfect timing.
Oh, I'm up?
Yep.
I'm up, and I don't have a copy of the agenda. You have an agenda?
So, yeah, and on the agenda it said Caroline County Parks and Recreation, Sue Simmons and Kat Stork.
Okay. All righty. And one of the things that I wanted to... And I apologize because Kat was not able to be here, and I can't say I am prepared to address, but since I'm here, one of the things that I wanted to clarify is we wanted to work with you all, and we don't have to do it tonight, to make sure that we understand what the council's priorities and interests were in terms of park development moving forward over the next 5 years. And so I'd love to schedule time to meet with you on that and also perhaps update you on the programming that's been happening within the town of Federalsburg as far as the public recreation services. But while I'm here, I also sent a note to Mr. DeRee, the Community Parks and Playground deadline is coming up in August, late August, the 26th to be specific, and that is an opportunity if we wanted to, the town wanted to work on a proposal to address the reconditioning of your existing paved court surfaces at Chambers Park, or if there were other project priorities, I would not want you to miss the opportunity to pitch a project to the state for that kind of support. So you've certainly been very successful competing for those resources in the past, and I would expect that you would be moving forward. But it's a powerful way to leverage some of the work that not only the Federalsburg Lions Club has been doing and Comcast Cares volunteer efforts, as well as even some of the local program open space funding that we've allocated to that particular park. Just wanted to do a shout out to that particular project opportunity.
So, Larry, do you know if the Parks Committee has met?
With the COVID, now we can meet.
Okay, so how about we reach out? So we actually have people that have volunteered to work on the Parks Committee. So how about we reach out to that group, see if we can get a meeting on the docket within the next couple weeks, well before, I don't know, we're going to have a quick turnaround, but if, at least if we can get to meet with them.
Yes.
To see what they would like to do with priorities. There are groups that are involved in the athletics and the sports and stuff at Chambers Park also, so be good to get their input.
Yeah. It would be great to get their input and feedback, and if that's something that, even if they are an important guide for you as the elected body, then maybe that's really where Kat and I should start, or that I can start and at least, you know, get some insight from them, because my expectation is that if there's a $150,000 or $200,000 grant opportunity, that, you know, we don't want to miss that opportunity to continue to stack up that investment in these important park facilities.
So. Right. Maybe we can use Chambers Park and the Lions Club building. That's large enough, everybody can spread out, and we can meet. So we'll contact them, get that scheduled. And then do you want us to let you know when that is? Did you want to attend, you or Kat?
Yes. I don't know when it is, and I would love to attend.
Okay.
If
all right. So
can attend, she will. But if not, I'd be glad to get the benefit of their thinking and the, you know, the challenges they're facing using the park.
Awesome. Okay, we'll get that scheduled as soon as possible.
And can I just also do a shout-out to your public works team? We met with them a week and a half ago. I was so impressed and informed by not only the schedule that they're keeping, but that even in light of the schedule that they juggle for not only the care and feeding of water, sewer, and you know, all the other infrastructure that makes a town go, that the parks look as beautiful as they do. I mean, could they always improve? Always. Even the county parks can improve. But I think you've got a great team there, and really appreciate the opportunity to spend time with them and get some understanding of the schedule that they're keeping. So, bravo.
Awesome. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Sure.
And we will pass that on.
All right.
Thanks, Sue. We'll let you know when we schedule it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. Next on the agenda, we have personnel policies.
Madam Mayor, members of council, we've got an executive session scheduled later for some personnel matters that pertain to other matters than these are. Do not pertain to any one particular employee, so they can be discussed in public. And at this time, this is not requiring any action to amend the personnel policies or resolution as necessary. So, based on discussion and direction of staff tonight, we'll draft a resolution accordingly and bring it back at a future date. Three issues in specific. The first one is the Juneteenth federal holiday, which was signed by President on the 17th of June 2021, which establishes a new federal holiday commemorating June 19th, and in which it would be celebrated or observed when it falls on a weekday, when it falls on a weekend day, as it did this year and next year, Friday or Saturday, Friday before or Saturday or Monday after, it would be the day that it's celebrated. The Section 3.2 of the Town Employee Manual lists the town holidays, which include all the federal holidays as well as Friday, Good Friday, and the Friday after Thanksgiving, which is in total 13 town paid holidays. This would be the 14th town paid holiday. Staff's recommendation is that we amend the holiday schedule to add the observance of Juneteenth Day. The next one is police holiday pay level. Again, Section 3.2B states that the employees work on holiday pay is at the 8-hour level. This works for just about all the employees, or does work for all the employees, salaried as well, except for the police department, which works a 12-hour shift. So staff is bringing forward the amendment that the paid holiday level for the police on those paid holidays is 12 hours in recognition of their shift rather than the current 8 hours. Staff recommends that change be made. And the last one are some personnel policy changes, and you've got the attachment there, respective of the American Rescue Plan Act. This is the act that I've been referring to as the federal money or the ARPA money, and the corresponding coronavirus state and federal rescue funds award. There's a number of staff-related or personnel-related obligations that we sign on for when we accepted the federal funds. Many of these things have been addressed. Conflict of interest, we already discussed that in our personnel policies. Seatbelt use and cell phone use and texting while driving is already addressed in our personnel policies as a drug-free workplace. So that might just require some modest text amendments to make sure that our current policy is actually reflective of the current federal language from the code regulations. The upside is the attachment you've got, the awards and conditions from the federal funding, give a cheat sheet of what those sections are from the federal code of regulations. But there are some parts that are missing, specifically provisions to protect whistleblowers, compliance with the Hatch Act, and restrictions on lobbying activities. And I understand that the vast majority of our employees are in no way involved with whistleblower activities, compliant, violating the Hatch Act, or are out doing lobbying activities. But should anyone ask, it's better to have the personnel policies amended to reflect those prohibitions than not, should anyone ask. So staff's bringing all those things forward at this time for discussion and direction, and we'll come back in either August 2nd or August 16th with a resolution reflecting the same.
So I think we should go ahead and at least update the policies to reflect each of those items. Do we have does an employee sign off that they have read those, and do we keep that signature in their personnel file? And do we do that every year, or is it just when they come on board?
Mm-hmm. Just when they come on board.
So, but if we add new ones, they would have to sign a new statement stating that they have received policies and they have read those policies and acknowledge receipt of those policies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure, yes.
Do you guys, does anybody have any other thoughts or additions to what Larry and staff are presenting?
No. I think they all sound solid.
So you can go ahead and we'll update what we need to get updated and then draft the letter. And I would just, since we're updating them, I might as well have everybody re-up their agreements. And all town staff have email now?
No.
Okay, so we probably should maybe discuss that, because some of the stuff, if we could put electronically, then they could go fetch a copy if they needed a copy.
It is available through Paychex website, through their...
Okay.
You know.
Through their portal to get in that one.
Yeah, okay. Because the employee manual is downloaded on there, so they can have access to that at any time.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next is the dam safety tabletop exercise recap.
Madam Mayor, members of council, Chief McDermott and I attended the dam safety tabletop exercise at the emergency services building in Denton earlier today. And there were some state officials there in NEMA. At least from my perspective, I hope that the Department of Environment's dam project person would be there. She wasn't. She had a family emergency and couldn't make it. But we did two scenarios of the condition of the Chambers Lake Dam. In both instances, the dam exercises pertained to a period of intense rain over a prolonged period of time and potential dam failure. The chief, I'm always interested in the chief's perspective on these things. From my perspective, what I learned, and again, we were informed from the county folks that there's no pass-fail on this, but to my satisfaction, there are some things that do need adjusting. We do need to update our emergency action plan. We do need to have a better sense of the flow of communication, especially to our residents, and how we would do that. We talked about reverse 911. We do need to have some consideration about the water levels in that dam on a general basis anyway, whether we maintain it, whether we consider the lake, rather, to be a recreational lake, or we consider it to be a stormwater retention area, because that will make a determination as to how much water you want in that lake on a daily basis. And that's probably, from this, again, two scenarios we've given, both of which are good, and it's a good, you know, all the tabletop exercises are what they are, so they give you specifics, but then there's a whole world that's actually going on that we deal with in real life that aren't on the specifics. My walk away from all these things that I've done, these, but I've probably done fewer than the chief has, but I've done my fair share, is town's going to be on its own for about 48 hours anyway, because if everything that they're saying happens to Federalsburg, it's happening to the entire county as well. And there can only be so many deputies and so many fire companies and so many available pumps and so much available help coming from the state or the federal resources or MEMA anyway. So I've got all the information. I kept all my sheets. you know, that's where we are. But communications, flow of information, condition of the lake on a daily, of the Chambers Lake on a daily basis is something I think we need to take into consideration, as well as, you know, just getting a better understanding that and this came up in a discussion, correct me, Chief, what we generally conceive of as the dam is actually just the spillway, whereas the entire earthen embankment around the water is actually the dam. And it's likely that any one of those areas would be breached and fail anyway. So the time that we spend on improving the condition of the spillway and the structural integrity of the walls is great and needs to be done. But the whole of the dam is, you know, it's going to fail at its weakest point, whether that's a spillway or whether that's an earthen embankment on, you know, on the other side in the woods. So that's where we are.
The good news is it would be a limited impact on citizens as it relates to the town, just because of the geography of the impact of the dam either failing or having a catastrophic failure. And I think the thing that came out of it probably for the town going forward is to make a decision as to whether or not it is a retention type pond environment where we look to, you know, cut the levels under our control to control stormwater management from that perspective, or whether it maintains itself as a recreational area, in which case we spend more money on riprap and other things to reinforce the earthen dam, just in the event that there is a problem in the future. So that's what I came away with. Other than that, I think town manager Drury laid it right out. That's exactly what it was.
Do we know how deep it is?
Not very deep.
The dam level at the spillway.
How deep did it used to be?
Is about 11 feet.
Not very deep.
Okay.
We would estimate that the overall depth throughout the lake is probably averaging around 6.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how much is on the bottom, and I wouldn't want to step in there, you know, and try and have a balance.
Yeah, but not at this day and time.
Yeah. So it covers between 30 and 50 acres. It has a 50-acre capacity for retention. And, of course, it was built in 1930 with the WPA money. So it's been there for a long time.
Yeah. I got one phone call when there was talk about it, and they said that they did not want to see it like what Galestown went through with all the tree stumps.
Galestown, look at Preston, Winchester.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Winchester is a disaster.
Yeah, they thought that would be too much of an eyesore.
I mean, I personally would like to see it go back to what it was, that it's a recreational area that people could, you know, paddle boat or swim or take swimming lessons or, I mean, I would like to see it go back to that is what I would like to see it go back to. I think people could use a place to do that and it would be nice.
They used to drain it down every year and come in with dozers and clean out the shallow parts and then bring in new beach sand and everything. And then went across the driveway part that goes back to the point. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had their diving board area and all that. And it was all clean sand. And it was clean beach. Clean beach.
The one advantage that we would have relative to that is that we own it, we control it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really need to worry about, you know, the levels or what we do with those levels or if we make an improvement to it or something of that nature. We're fairly autonomous. So that's good, too. And that's great. If it looked like that, there probably would be a lot of people out there using it.
I would think so.
That could be something we could sponge off of Sue Simmons.
I would think so. They're tossing money for, there's COVID money for outdoor activities and outdoor recreational areas and cleaning that up if we could get some. I mean, I think once we got ahead of it, I mean, you know, to Larry's point, it's always like once you do a grant, you need to make sure that you can keep up with it.
Right.
But, I mean, I think if it got to the point it was sensible, then we might be able to keep it with minimal staffing where it isn't a giant tax on any staff to have to keep up with anything up there.
I know that the people probably aren't around today, but there was probably a lot of people that donated their time and material to that.
Right.
I mean, you had the Rosser gravel pit, and under darn well, that the Rossers probably dumped a lot in that hole. Insane.
Okay.
The upside is this is a 5-year requirement and we're good for 5 years.
Oh, for you guys attending that training, we're good for 5 years now. The part of the dam project that is going on, does that address some of the issues? The grant that we have that they're currently, Gabriel's currently working on?
Yeah, we're not close. $8,000 isn't going to cover.
Oh, okay.
But the amount of work that needs to be done now, I mean, that would have been sufficient to patch some cracks. But that's not where we are now. And they did walk through us some instances of the level of inundation where, you know, the soil supporting the wall collapses, so down goes your wall.
Right.
And that's not necessarily patching cracks in the concrete anymore, although it still has to happen. That's just, this, you know, there's no dirt anymore on the side of the wall. So the wall is going to fail. We're in everything.
You know, what I didn't walk away from is to know whether or not they're focusing on the spillway as problematic because of that's where the attention's been, but not on the earthen actual dam. They've listed it as basically a critical issue as a dam for the state of Maryland. So I don't, maybe that either puts more money available for the riprap or these changes, whatever, I don't know. But I do know that, I don't know whether that means that they're critical of the spillway or they're critical of the actual dam. Because that's one of the things that I don't think they understood, is the spillway is not the dam. The spillway is the spillway.
Right.
The dam is earthen and it's attached to it. So those are some questions that we're trying to get them to answer.
So is there like a formal report with findings that they've issued?
Yeah.
Or okay.
They'll be doing an after action. After
gotcha.
Action follow up with us. When that happens, it's happy to share it.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
But it was a good exercise because, again, it took into consideration of all the contact information that needs to be updated, you know, staffing levels, what we do if we know this thing is coming 2 days out compared to, you know, it's going to happen at 10 o'clock in the morning when a, you know, a line of storms moves through and we get 3 inches of rain in an hour. So it was a good exercise to go through in that regard because we've been through two hurricanes, at least since I've been here, both of which have been relatively minor. So that's not an issue. But you never know when something out of the blue is going to be an issue.
Great. Thank you.
Did they show, like, damage expected if it was to fail?
No, it wasn't that level.
Okay.
They lay out the scenarios and you walk through, you know, basically what your reactions are going to be. What, you know, who should we call? Staffing levels, at what point state police are called to do, if they need to do aerial rescue or get the rescue boats out, because we won't do that, you know, what the perimeter is that the chief has to secure, and whether we, under what conditions, we have an officer stay there or an officer not stay there. It you know what I mean, it was a lot to...
Right,
to
yeah, I just didn't know how far they went with it, so...
I would expect, Department of, if Mr. Grant wanted to run that for the council and the mayor, it might be beneficial to run them through one of those scenarios to see what they come up with.
I agree.
So when was the last time our emergency procedures were updated? Asking
well,
for
these
friend.
Were done in 2018. Some of these projects are like every 5 year mandated that they're updated based on what the state, you know, requires. But we have some other areas that we probably need to review.
It probably would be worthwhile dusting that off and looking at some of it. I know we've had some of the Carolina emergency talk to us about, you know, like the use of the fire siren and when it goes off and a real emergency versus it going off for a fire call, and people just, they're so used to it going off, it just, I mean, if it were to go off now and there was due emergency, I would be probably sitting in my tiki bar, you know, on my computer at work. I mean, because it goes off all the time, so.
Well, and the same thing with the reverse 911. I mean, it's incumbent upon people, first of all, we need to know that. And then it's coming upon them to actually acknowledge that they received it, and then to do something about it.
Right.
So, you know, at best, four police officers. And the other, you know, they only do so much. And the other thing is our public utilities and public works director is the same guy, and if he's going to be allocating resources to the dam site, in my discussions, I made it clear he's also our operator at the sewer plant, and I am much more concerned about that sewer. If this actually happened, the sewer plant is going to fail anyway.
Right.
So he needs to be at the sewer plant, not, you know, wondering where the sandbags went.
Right. That's definitely bigger fish to fry at the wastewater treatment plant.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Well, sounds kind of interesting.
You won't sleep tonight.
Next, we have the Old Denton Road project.
This is for bond council. So as part of the MDE funding, you have loan and loan forgiveness. You are required to get bond council to represent you in order to draft the ordinances, approving the bonds, issuing the bonds, and then taking care of all the tax paperwork. We haven't done a project where we've had to actually have bond ordinances for probably 15 years. It's usually MDE and USDA projects where there's a taxable bond and it's exempt and non-exempt. The one that's forgiven is obviously exempt, and the one that's the 40-year payoff is non-exempt. So they have to prepare a bunch of IRS forms in order to take care of this. So I reached out to Craig Heron, who's an attorney at Whiteford, Taylor, and Preston. They have acted as bond counsel for Greensboro and Trapp, and I've recently done projects with them, and they prepared a proposal for the town for $12,500 in order to draft the bond, attend any necessary meetings, take care of the primary tax diligence, and then they handle the closing with MDE, so they make sure that they have, basically when you go to closing with MDE, which is at the start of the construction project, they put together a binder that makes sure it has the charter in there, when the mayor was appointed, the minutes of all the appointment of council, and they prepare all of that. The $12,500 is pretty much the going rate for bond council, so I would say it's standard. I can get another quote if you'd like. That's up to you. I just wanted to get the process going because you're on the Board of Public Works agenda for September 1st. Once Board of Public Works approves it, MDE will work towards that closing, and they'll need bond counsel in place.
So is this something that is in that grant to be paid for, or do we have to come up with the $12,500?
So it should. So MDE permits 13.5% for administration fees of the total construction cost. So this should be well within it. Unfortunately, right now, we went over budget on the construction management and inspection, so we're about $20,000 over budget, which includes the percentage for admin. However, the procurement packages for construction management and construction were approved by the reviewing authority, and they're going to Public Works with that total. So MDE at the Board of Public Works could approve and increase the total. We just won't know until September 1st.
Okay.
If they don't, then there should be monies left within the RMC to cover whatever the overage is.
My only question would be, do we need a second quote just to keep MDE and everybody happy, because isn't this the same one that we got in trouble with having Bob do it the way
we've always
done it?
This one, they don't care. Bond counsel, they don't care about.
Okay.
Generally, what happens is, like in other towns, there's just a standard bond counsel that towns use, and they use them every single time, just like you would use me to draft something else. This one doesn't have to be procured. All of the preparation of documents related to the actual construction contract would have to be procured.
Okay. In that case, I'm fine with going with the lawyer you have.
As well.
Okay, so can we get a motion to go with who is the company?
It's Whiteford, Taylor, and Preston, and they're out of Baltimore.
Can I get a motion to go with Whiteford, Taylor, and Preston for the bond council for the Old Denton Road project?
I'll make a motion to go with the bond project.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, we are now at the point for public comment, so if you would like to speak, you can step up to the podium and say your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay. I think the mayor had that lady on her mic represent me. Late leakage. I'm here to complain to the town that I have a bill, electric water bill, for $189 for 6 months. They come change my meter and said the meter was running backwards. So my son works at WSSC. Does anybody know who that is?
No.
Okay, he brought a person down with him and they checked my water pressure in my house. I have just a little bit above the manual usage. You know, I have perfect water pressure. My next door neighbor doesn't have any water pressure. and his bill, he only pays $230. I pay $600-some every 3 months. Could you please have another meter put on my orders?
Yes, we can get them checked. Do you know, what's your address?
319 South University Avenue.
Is that one, I know when they do the checks for turning in the usage, there's some that they have to reread. Do you know, can you check and see if his meter is one they have to, I mean, we'll look at putting a new meter on it for sure, but see if that's one where there's a reread constantly happening, because maybe there's also an issue with that meter. Yes, sir?
What I want to say is, if I'd had my kayak, I could have went down the road the other day when the water main broke. They lost about 50,000 gallons of water. And they said that's what I used last three months.
50,000
gallons.
Do you have a new pool?
No, I don't have a pool. I go to Virginia every weekend.
Oh. Okay, we'll get that taken care of. Thank you. Next.
My name is Jerry Jones, at Booker Avenue. I'm really not prepared tonight, but I will say a few things. Because I didn't know, this is the first meeting I've been to, and I really wanted to see how things were being done and just what was discussed here. I have quite a few concerns, but I'm just going to dawn on a couple of them tonight. One of them is the street, Brooklyn Avenue. I mean, that street's terrible. And I don't know why. They did Girardi Boulevard partially. Came in just a little bit on it and stopped. But still, it wasn't as bad as Brooklyn Avenue side. I mean, all the way down around to the street. And I was just wondering if they had any plans to repair that. And the other thing was, the gentleman here was discussing about his water bill. I've been concerned about ours for a long time because, I can't call any names or anything, but I've checked with several people in the neighborhood, and it seemed like our bills run almost the same. You know, they're not exact. But it's too obvious to me that either the water meters are wrong or something's wrong. I don't know. And like you take my high school, just two people. Now, I think it might be, well, I do know one right now, just one family. And their water bill should be nowhere near mine. I don't use that much. I use enough, I admit it. But I don't use that much. One of us worked during the day. The other was home. Or they used just drinking water or something, you know, flush the toilet once or twice. But the bills seem like every time we get them, they're similar, you know, with other neighbors. Now, I had an aunt that lived in the neighborhood. She's passed now. But she came to me one day before she died and asked me what the water bill was. And I said, well, yours is almost the same as mine. You live here by yourself, an old lady. I said, no, that's not right. So, well, you know, this stuff's been going on for a long time. And that's why I'm down here tonight, to discuss a few things about it, because maybe something needs to be looked into with the water meters. And a lot of times they're always told that they got a leak. Now, I do plumbing work myself. I did my own. It's inspected and everything. I don't have no leak. When I know something's wrong, I go in the house and look for it. So that's why I say when they say, well, your water bill, this, you may have a leak. I know it, because I can repair it myself. And it's just little things like this. Now, next time, whenever the next meeting is, I'll be more prepared to discuss exactly some of the things that I want you to
go
over. Because there's quite a few things. And I know nothing that's serious, but it's bad enough. So, anybody else have anything to say?
So on the streets, we're making a list. We know we have a lot that need to be done.
Yeah.
We are trying to find some money to do that, and we're hoping to get some grant money to take care of the streets. It's quite a bit to pave the streets.
I'll tell you,
10 years ago, I tore a muffler on my car because of that crazy curve we had going by the houses. Now, I don't know why we got something like that back there. You know, as a matter of fact, I filled in on my side to make it smooth or double where I could come in and out.
Okay.
Because I tore a muffler off my car one time before I did that because it shouldn't have been like that.
Right.
It's just things that need to be done.
The other thing on the water meters, we are working on replacing all of the water meters mm-hmm. in town with remote read readers so that people don't have, somebody doesn't, right now a town employee has to go around and spend all of the time reading the meters. The remote read readers will let us be able to do that a lot faster. It will report back and we'll have a better handle on what they're actually doing, and we won't be wasting a town employee several weeks of their time running around every house reading meters.
Yes.
So we are trying to replace all the meters in the next year or so.
My name is Roberta Button. I live on Brooklyn Avenue, 317. Like Mr. Jared was saying, the road needs to be fixed. Water bill ain't nothing but $300-some. One time mine was $700. So I called down here. I found my leak. I got it fixed. I didn't get that much discount on it. I still had to pay $600. So I was here when the town that they built that road from Brooklyn Avenue. We ain't had but a dirt road back there. Like Mr. Jerry said, that sidewalk. It's supposed to be a sidewalk, but I don't know what it is back there. It's not no sidewalk. The road ain't never been fixed. You come back there, you see these tree root from the road coming off. But like I said, I talked to Christy this morning, and they tell me, well, we can't come on your property. Property owner, homeowner. But you need to fix where y'all got that fire hydrant in front of my house. And when I called there, I had to get it cut off. They took the top off. Went up a whole bunch of dirt on top of it. Dirt keep falling down inside. So maybe y'all can try to help us type that book.
And what's your address, ma'am?
317 Brooklyn Avenue. 317.
Okay, thank you. Next.
I'm Daisy Bolden. I live at 329 Brooklyn Avenue. And it's a big hole right almost like in front of my house in the road, and I mentioned it to the town. When I go out, I run in this big hole. I don't have no other choice. And little things that has to be done, like when it snows. But I mentioned it to the town one time. They told me I was the only one back there complaining. Well, I live in the woods almost, and that's why I have to complain. You know, I mean, it's nothing else for me to do, and I live alone.
Was it for plowing, if it snowed?
Snow, yeah.
Okay.
They just come so far and just turn around and went on back, I guess. But I've been living back on Brooklyn for almost 60 years in the same spot. And the whole street needs something done to it, the Brooklyn Avenue. And I'm paying taxes, and then nobody's coming to do anything. And my water bill is awful, and I live alone, but nothing But I think the meters need to be come in check. That's what I think it is. I think they're tilted or something.
Yes, maybe the mayor or everywhere can come back there and check it out.
Right.
Come back there and look at it. Look how bad the roads are.
So that maybe can we just run a report of the water meter usage back down that road, just to take a look at them, to compare some of them and see where the, so we can target specific ones for reading and make sure that everything's working right until we get the new meters, and the new water meters should help take care of a lot of that, but. We can run some reports and compare to see what we're looking at and what we need to get fixed.
Yeah.
and see if maybe we can get that hole patched in front of your house. But there's there's several potholes that need to be patched in town, so we need a lot of coal patch.
Yeah, but
Jackie Pinkins, I live on Liberty Road, but I have property on Brooklyn Avenue. That road has not been touched since the last board of the mayor was at the time put that road in there. And you have strips or cracks about every 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And seriously, I hate to drive over there because bump, 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 all the way up. And it shouldn't be that way now. I don't know who the mayor was to put that road in there. Mm-hmm. But you're right.
It might have been Albert.
So that was about 1979, 1980. So something should have been done by now. Now, on the Liberty Road, I am going to name that street Indy 500. People come through there. It started on Thursday through the weekend. I mean, they are flying. What the police? We need somebody out there more often. Yeah, you know, I sit on my porch. Yeah. Policeman will come up. He'll sit there for about 2 minutes. Luckily, he did get a woman Thursday because she was rolling through there. So he got her. But they're coming through there. They start on Thursdays, flying through there. And then on, what's this street coming through about? Beside my property? Bernard. They come out of that street like they're not going to stop. They're flying coming down this street. Then there's a lady across from me. She backs out. And they come around that curve. They're going to hit her and knock her in her own yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, and sometimes they don't stop for a stop sign. So it's dangerous out there. So I hope somebody will patrol on Bernard. And I believe when y'all get a grant or something and take care of Brooklyn Avenue.
Is the back half of Girardi just as bad? Or not quite as bad as Brooklyn?
It's the same all the way around.
I was going to say, because I know last time I was back there at Girardi, I didn't think we had done anything. Girardi was quite messed up, too, once you got back there a little bit.
Yeah, all the way around. Yeah. Now, on Bernard, I would suggest that you put speed bumps in there, if it's possible. Because those people do not consider other people, children out there playing, and people backing out of the driveway. So, you know, I hope something's done.
There's quite a few roads that we have problems with people speeding on. And I've asked the chief to look into one of those mobile speed units that it's not sit still, but it goes around and it will flag people as they're coming through. So you never know exactly where it's going to be sitting, you know, at that time. So, because if not, if people are sitting there all the time, then they start to know, oh, you got to slow down because somebody's sitting at this intersection. So,
And the last thing is, I've been in Fellsburg for many years. This is where I was born. To me, the town looks bad. We had grass all on the curves. We've got bad houses in the town. I mean, I rode around one day. Houses are empty. Weeds are growing up on side of the buildings. People got trash in the yard, vehicles, old vehicles in the yard. And we're looking bad. What are we going to do?
So we, town manager Doreen and I just had this conversation. Like, I sit at the stoplight at Main Street, and I can see the weeds growing up out of the stuff, and that's on the docket for Public Works to get to there. We were two people down. We are now back to full staff. That's not an excuse, just telling you what it was for as far as staffing. We are working on them to have priority lists to get stuff done. There is a list of priority houses. It does, unfortunately, take a while to get the landlords that are vacant landlords that don't live in Fettlesburg to deal with them. Well, the problem is we go to the judge, and the judge doesn't do anything. We have that problem with, there's one resident in particular that has three pieces of property. The judge just doesn't make them do anything. Mm-hmm. So we fight an uphill battle constantly with property owners to try to get them accountable for the way their property looks.
Yeah, I keep my property cut down, you know, at least in someone's better than mine. But, you know, when I come to the end of my street, Philip, your relative used to live in that house.
What house?
When I come to the end of my street.
On Liberty Road?
It's on Central, but you can make a right. When I make a right, that house is on the left.
Oh, the, it used to be the red house.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monica George.
Yeah.
Yes.
My man, they even had trees growing in the back door.
And they got a front porch packed full of...
Everything.
Yeah, I meant...
And the woman sits out there and read every day, but she can get out there. I don't know how she find a seat out
there. I don't either. There's a mess of stuff on there, but yes.
I know it takes time and money to do what we need to do to beautify Fellowsburg. This was a pretty little town once upon a time.
Oh, we'd like to get it back to that. The challenge is the holding people accountable. And, I mean, I know our town, the code enforcement officer spends a lot of time sending letters and asking people to do stuff and trying to get up with them. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what Larry, I mean, he spends several hours on the phone to people or at their houses or...
There are 200 code enforcement actions every year. I mean, that's documented. And some of those are multiple people. You know, you send the same property owner X number of letters about the condition of their property. So it's not most people, but it's chronic people. And there just needs to be a better way to enforce
the chronic people.
And the absentee landlords. I mean, there are people who have long since have no ownership of, I mean, they have ownership of it, but they have no care for the property. They don't see it every day. They don't have relatives that live here anymore.
They don't care.
Mayor, what is the percentage of renters in Fellowsburg?
A lot.
60% of Fellowsburg are renters.
Yeah. And some of them take care of their property.
Yeah, well, they do.
Some of them do not. And some of the landlords just don't. I mean, Chief has worked with some of the properties and sent pictures to the landlords and said, this is what your house looks like. You need to get it fixed. You need to take care of the residents, and they'll call the resident. As long as the resident pays the rent, these landlords don't care. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what we need to do is really get owner-occupied because people are investing in that property, and they're investing in themselves. That's what we really need to get. Mm-hmm. People that own their houses tend to take a little more pride than, you know, the people that are just, you know, renting. Not everybody, but there are some that just don't care.
There is grants right there. For the low income, for ownership.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, thank you guys for coming in. So we have a, can I get a motion for closed session? There is a closed session requested for personnel matters.
Before we go on, can I ask the chief something since they just brought up some of the houses in town? Is there any way to hold the landlords accountable if you're going to places more than once a month? If you're going to the same place, I thought I was on the council in 2003. I thought we passed a law, we talked about an ordinance at that point in time where we were going to charge landlords a fee for every time after you went the first time. If you had to go back to that same residence, we started charging them. Is that possible? Am I wrong in thinking we had that on the books at one point?
It was proposed. It was never passed.
In 2003?
It was after, it was when Ken and
no.
were on. I know they tried to get one done and it didn't pass.
I meant, is it legal?
Well, the town manager and I have actually been kicking around some possible ordinance to look at and send a copy to council just for review purposes. It addresses crime issues. It addresses maintenance of property effort. It basically is a nuisance, a compatible nuisance ordinance that would address some of the issues that she just spoke about regarding the upkeep and maintenance of a house, as well as it would add a lot of teeth to it from the town's perspective, mm-hmm. civilly, for us if we have a maintenance, a property that's either a maintenance problem, chronic, or it's a crime problem, drug dealing, issues like that. Anything like that would violate that ordinance, would allow the town to actually take some more civil action in it, and it has fines attached and things like that. Those would help us with a lot of the landlord issues, because the landlords are going to be held accountable for their properties. And we just, I mean, this is in the last 2 weeks that I've got some of this ordinance from another town in Maryland that enacted it, I believe. I want to say it was Aberdeen, was trying to deal with some of these issues. So we're looking at it, and we're trying to put something together before, you know, before we kick it in here with council and with make sure that legally that we're in down line with, you know, with where we can be.
Okay.
But the simple question is, yes, there is ordinance. Yes, it can be dealt with. Maybe some would say it's a, you know, there's a lot of nuance with it. But to be honest, I don't think it's something that we can't do. And we are dealing with nuisance properties when it comes to responding. And I've been shocked. I actually had a property a month ago that we had been to 23 times in 18 months. And a lot of it was drug-related and everything else. And I called the landlord when I realized that that's what was going on. And they evicted him the next month, and we haven't been back to that place since. So we're trying to be more aggressive in our posture. Mm-hmm. This ordinance would help people like code enforcement and the council to help citizens who see that as a problem in their neighborhood and want to address it. We could. And I think that's something that we're going to be putting on the table here sometime this year.
Okay.
I think that would definitely work well. Working on, looking at.
Yeah, there's obviously pros and cons to all of it, and you know, it's we just have to take it and do what we can with it. But it is possible, and the landlords will squeal.
Well, we should make sure they all get a copy as soon as it's signed.
Yeah, I mean, the problem right now is all you can really do are property maintenance enforcement, and for property maintenance, you have to enforce the code. The code requires specific notice provisions, so you have to send a letter, give them a certain amount of time to correct it, and then they don't correct it, then you can send another one notifying them that you'll take them to court. By then, they've either corrected it or had someone else correct it. They do the same thing 2 weeks later, you have to send another letter. You can't just go each time. It's that whole process. So by putting something in the ordinance that allows them to act much faster, it will help.
Yes.
We're getting there. We're trying.
What about people who don't keep the grass cut?
So, unfortunately, we actually cut people's grass at a cost, and then we have to get reimbursed from them. But we've had to somebody come cut people's grasses because they just refuse to do it. And then the problem is we've just paid, I don't know, $35 a lawn or something,
an hour
to cut people's grass. And then we have to try to recoup the money back from them.
And you don't get it, do you?
Nope. The struggle is real. I mean, it's
do we attach that to the house so if they sell it, we can get the money?
Or get that like a
yeah,
like
as long as there's appropriate notice and they have time to cut it themselves,
yeah,
and they don't.
That's
they
the
do
problem that also because once it gets to be 6 inches, you send a letter out, but you got to give them, is it 2 weeks?
It grows 4 more inches.
2 weeks,
yeah,
to
yeah,
cut it. So by the time we can actually go do it, it could be, you know, 16 inches tall. And unfortunately, we're trying to get it done, but it just, everything takes at least a month and a half from the time you start with the process to the time you can actually cut the grass or do anything. Is, you know, just time-wise, it's terrible.
I mean, I mean, this is just random thoughts. I don't know if there's, you know, if we have the habitual ones that we have a problem with, maybe they just can't cut the grass or don't have a mower. Maybe there's a way we could work with, like, the youth groups to cut the grass and they get a portion. I'd rather pay a youth group money to come cut their lawn than pay that company money. You know, maybe it could be a fundraiser for a group. They have some kids with mowers and they can help somebody cut their lawn and weed whack.
as opposed to somebody that just can't do it. They're just not physically capable of doing it. They don't have a mower, and they don't have anybody young to help them out. I mean, I know there's some people around that actually have that issue with their house. They have trouble just getting stuff done. So, you know, maybe that's something that we could look at, working with some of the community and civic groups to help get a, you know, a brigade that would help people that need help. I mean, there are some people that flat out just don't do it, but there are some people that don't have the means and have trouble. So,
a lot of elderly people that just can't get out and do something. And, like, for instance, I was just thinking while you were talking, during the winter time, everyone is supposed to clear the sidewalk in front of the house. Well, this happened some years ago. But an officer came through, and this guy had just had surgery. He couldn't get out and do it. And at the time, I think his funds were low. He couldn't afford to pay nobody to do it at the time. Well, he couldn't get out of nowhere, I guess. But he told him he had to do it. You know, these officers need to be controlled as far as things that they say to people when they approach them about certain things, because they don't know their predicament, you know?
Right.
But, it didn't happen here recently. 2 or 3 years ago. Well, the last snow we had. And I thought they would rather be treating a man like that. Mm-hmm. I was going over there, of course. I wasn't going to do no shoveling myself at that time, but I would have helped him. But it was, you know, a little too far for me to run across that real quick. But the guy told me about it when I seen him. And I said, he should give me some consideration. And you know, he told me he just got in the hospital, which he had. I mean, he had surgery.
I'd be happy if I didn't have to shovel another piece of snow, so I'd be completely fine with that. Alrighty. Can I get a motion to go into closed session so we can deal with the personnel matters?
Motion to go into closed session for personnel matters.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right, we'll see you guys next month. Make sure you bring your list.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you for coming. It is Monday, August
1st, 2nd.
2nd. Yep. 6 o'clock.
You sent it in the mail, right?
All right, we'll get it started.
Okay.
The new meters will help with that also.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did, Mr. Thomas. He did. About maybe an hour and a half before I got here.
Oh, wow.
I had to go to see him. That's why I was coming back.
Well, you made it.
You made it just in time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We
lost Ed anyway.
I'm sorry?
We lost Ed anyway.
He's no dummy. He took advantage of that. All right,
we'll see
two things real quick. And number one, request 70 is passing. Steve Dyett got a 69 on his test. So what that means is, and he's had this discussion with the mayor and myself, close enough, and you can smell the cigar smoke, but he's not the one smoking it. So as a result, he's going to, and the section of the exam that he failed, well, he didn't accumulate the most points, was the word problems. So he's got himself a
for
math.
Math.
Math
it was tutor. A word problem. It was a word problem that with math measurements.
Right. This is the test that he failed previously.
Right.
And okay.
Right. So he's got himself a math tutor to help him with the word problem side of it.
He's paying for that, isn't he?
Yeah. And here's the thing, though, and this is where it's kind of bullshit. You can't. The way that exam is structured, you have to take the whole exam over again, not just the section that you didn't pass. So as a result. Literally, he can't do worse than he did this time, the next time. And I think he's scheduled to take that test in September, October.
And he has been told that. He does. He has a math tutor. The problem is everything up there is all automated. It does it all for you. And when you have to calculate, you have a system, and it requires X plus X minus Y, blah, 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 and so, but he is, he's working with a math tutor, and he understands that he needs to pass this go-round. He will pass this go-round.
What is the contingency? I mean, he just can't keep taking it every 3 months until he passes it, can he? I mean.
Contingency? We find somebody else to do the damn job and do it the way it's supposed to be done.
Well,
this is just getting
his statement
stupid
was,
at this point.
Well,
I have no
time,
other word for it.
No,
stupid.
It's true, and he fully admits that. And he's like, if Dennis can pass, I should be able to pass. That was, the statement.
My father went from being inside working on computers and doing payroll to going outside the wastewater treatment plant and passed the wastewater treatment license test the very first time he took it. Never having done that stuff, except for the couple months while he was studying. I don't understand how a man that does this for a living can't pass this test. It shows we have a problem, because obviously we need to hire better, or we need to rethink the way we're doing, because to me he's 0-2 and needs to be finding a new job, or needs to be demoted, and we need to get somebody to do his job.
Well, that's for another day, but I think for all the issues we heard, I think the public works function needs to be taken away from him. Not again, personality is notwithstanding. I think our plant is sophisticated and important enough that we hire an operator to be the operator and take care of the collection system and take care of the plant, and somebody else is making sure that the guys are cutting grass. Because if he's going to get consume his time making sure somebody else is cutting grass and weed whacking the weeds on Liberty Avenue, then how do we expect somebody to put their time in for this function? Ideally, he passes the exam and that situation resolves itself. If he doesn't pass the exam, advertise the job. He's welcome to compete for it and see if we can get anybody better. And that's, that again is going to be another issue. Are you going to get anybody better? What you can afford to pay, because a licensed operator is going to go to a different agency and make more money than they're going to do with the town of Federalsburg, and we just have to kind of cope with that idea, because that's going to be our recruiting for the next 20 years. Somebody's going to, there's going to be a better paying job somewhere. If you didn't hear, this whole state of Delaware's minimum wage is going to be $15 in the next 4 years. So
in the meantime, we should start looking at comparative salaries for wastewater treatment operators that are licensed.
Yes, and the research that we did back a month ago, it doesn't look like when Steve got his promotion, when he got his pay increase, it wasn't necessarily, which was that a lot, 2013? Ballpark?
Ish.
Yeah. It was Colburn, it wasn't Shirley.
Right.
It was not tied to passing the exam. It was just a flat pay increase.
Or bumping him up to the position.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was the. I thought the requirement was that he passed the exam.
That's what I thought too.
Well, you couldn't find.
I mean, I wasn't on council, but I knew two people that were, and I thought in order for him to do that job, the parameters were that he needed to pass that exam to keep that $10,000 bonus.
That was the incentive.
That was the.
It may have been the implied intent,
implied
but it wasn't.
Intent, yeah.
But it was never
but
in
it was
writing.
Never,
nope. Oh, in the meantime, Larry, are we covered with the wage worker license?
Yeah, and that's the. I mean, yeah, because
you still got George.
No, we got Scott Getchell. We could call George if we need him, but George wanted to get out of George.
George doesn't have a license.
Well, George also wants to get out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And George is also really closely tied to Rao anyway. So we've got Scott Getchell from GMP, who's a PE. So, you know, we're paying him overqualified, but doing a really good job. And he's pleased with the performance, the daily work performance of Sumner and Steve both. So here we go with guys who are arguably doing the job well enough, can't pass the credentialing exam, and as a result, you can be the hardest worker in the world, but without that piece of paper from the state, and
mm-hmm. What happened with Sumner's test?
He got in the 60s as well. So he did better than the last time, but he didn't pass either.
Was it a math issue with him as well?
I don't know. I don't know what his score was.
He took water this time. Too,
right.
And not
he took water. Right.
Yeah, I knew they were.
Yeah.
They split ways this time.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's nothing to say. He was playing to his strength either, but as long as we can only, you know, we can afford to pay two. You know, we're not going to send everybody out there in public works to take an exam. So we got what we got. And, you know, I almost wish he had failed with 59. This way, so, you know, you'll improve next time. But 69.
It was one question.
You can still improve.
Yes.
He's going
to
have
to.
He
understands he needs to improve. If not, there will be ramifications. We just need to come up with the ramifications if that's the case.
But I do caution about, you know, in the circumstances we are, finding anybody better. Or finding anybody more credentialed who's going to come and work for us out of the blue at what we're going to pay. And I'm not saying that we need to be hostage to what people want to pay. But we just have to be mindful of that.
Did Greensboro just hire a new public
contract
work?
Contract operator.
Public
work,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Because we kind of talked to them
operations guy?
Oh, no. Maryland.
Oh. They bid on Greensboro
as
contract operator. They did
an
RFP and
we had. And that's it. Now, you know, we'll get some of our staff time back because
there's
a remote water meters.
Right.
But they still sent
a quote.
It was higher than the lowest 12
weeks,
one they ended up going with.
Yeah.
But,
that's a lot of time.
You know?
But they come in and do everything, right?
Everything.
So that technology is going to help some of it. It's not going to help all of them.
Are you comfortable with
and I don't know the difference between the Steve's salary.
Yeah, I mean, that it's been a year and a half now. The whole bullshit with the pandemic is winding down. We dealt with the dentist situation. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at something and I'm seeing it not work. So beyond that, it's, am I seeing something where we're setting our people up to fail? Because we can't let that happen. You know, and if you reorganize something, at least you're giving it a shot to reorganize it. You know? But just the back and forth today. I got to go and get my water meter, my water cut on because my plumber's gone. Well, we got four guys working on the splash pad. Well, somebody's got to go back there. Well, by the time they get over there, it's 3 hours later, and they're calling Missy two or three times today. You can't win. You know? I mean, do we want four people fixing the, and I understand there's been barking about the splash pad. Do you want four people today fixing the splash pad? Or do you want the guy getting ready to take his exam? Or do you want all the weed whacking done? Or do you want the back and forth to get my water meter cut on and off because my plumber's here and not here?
Now, in the meantime, somebody stopped by and said, the stream is dirty. We need to clean it.
Which stream?
The Marshy
Hill? The giant one that we have right through town.
Well, he had just signed a grant for $300.
So that's why I said I'm going to use the grant to get a giant clam that sits right at the pier where she's complaining about and let it filter all the water as it comes down.
The other side show I've got is actually not a bad thing. It allows for a change around here at a lot of levels. John Garlick will be retiring in March, and we get the opportunity to completely reconsider how we've been doing code enforcement, planning, building official, etc. Because all that rolled into one guy, and I've seen it elsewhere, you got to be a gentleman and work with everyone over here on your building permit because you want to work with them to get to an acceptable middle, and you got to be a hard guy about code enforcement. And if my only experience with you has been all you do is complain, you know, I don't think the gentleman with the snow was talking about John. Have you ever met John Garlick? He's not assertive, let's say that.
He said it was a police officer.
Was it a cop?
That's what he said.
Okay, well, the cop shouldn't be telling people to.
It was him.
The police officers don't enforce people not shoveling their sidewalks.
Well, that would be my expectation. But
anyway.
I don't think it was John.
We might use somebody to shovel their sidewalks.
Because I don't think that's John Garlick either.
No.
You know? And that's the thing. He's really good as a building official and really bad as a code enforcement officer. And he knows that about himself. And we've had this discussion. So and I'd like to keep him around as needed for building official stuff. But on the code enforcement side, we've got to go a completely different direction. And there are some people you can reach and some people you can't. I like this idea because what she's talked about, that ordinance, because that addresses people's behavior. And not just, I got a junk car in the back. Put the junk car in the back in a garage, please, and you can keep it forever. But the behavior is the thing that keeps driving down kind of other people's behavior. And if that was Brick Road you were talking about, I think we all understand Carol Evans's problem, amongst others. And it's a handful of them who would, I'm glad this guy got rid of his property and the people across the street are basically moved out over there, 206 North Main. But we'll see what comes in after him.
What are they doing about that water leak there?
Which water leak?
Across the street there.
At the church?
No. Right over here of these apartments. That are alongside Carolina.
Ewing?
Yeah.
Ewing's apartments?
Yeah. Have you seen the water running up out of the driveway?
Where the barbershop used to be?
Yeah.
I don't even think I'm not sure. I'll look for
it. It'd be 2 weeks now. I've been looking there since then.
Well, we hadn't gotten to action on it yet, but since we're on water leaks, I had a gentleman come up about, Union United down here?
Yeah.
It leaked for a long, long time.
Months.
And he said that he didn't have a problem with the church not paying the water bill, but his question was, who's paying for the chemical running down the street? The rest of the town people?
Yeah.
So he said, why don't we make them fix it or make them cut the water off?
The leak that's happening now is the town, isn't it?
I think so.
Isn't that what we sat here and y'all told me?
I thought Rich Allen was coming to fix it.
I think the town's going to do it.
It's still leaking.
It's been leaking for months.
I don't think Rich Allen's doing that one.
The one that, if he's talking about the leak at the corner of the driveway,
right up here.
I was told the town was fixing that, and that's been 2 months ago.
Which one's that, Scott?
At the
church.
The one for the church.
It sits right at the corner.
They fixed one. There was two. When they fixed one, it caused another one somewhere else. Okay.
So the town's supposed to be doing that already.
I heard it was
slowing up. Running out of water.
I swear that's what I was talking
about. But here we go again. Is it the town guys doing it, or is the contractor doing it? Because if the contractor's doing it, we need to know that the contractor does it. And if it's our guys doing it, then they're not doing the splash pad because nobody cares about the splash pad compared to wasted water.
Yeah, I was told our guys were going to do it, not Vitalik.
Okay, well.
This goes back to having the public works and the sewer separate so that there's a division of services and what gets stayed on top of.
Right.